A study published yesterday by the American Cancer Society shows a significant increase in colorectal cancer among Generation X and millennials. The authors say people born in 1990 have double the risk of colon cancer and quadruple the risk of rectal cancer compared to the risk of someone born in 1950, the risk they would have faced at a similar age. Joining me now is Dr. John Marshall, director at the Roush Center for the Cure of Gastrointestinal Cancers at Georgetown University. Dr. John Marshall, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much for having me.
We associate colorectal cancers with older victims, I guess.
Every textbook I ever read says that it's supposed to be in people over the age of 50, more common 60, 70, 80. And in fact, that's why we do screening when we do, is pick that up. But we have seen, as you've said, this alarming trend over the last 10 plus years of very young people showing up with a disease that's supposed to be in the older population.
Why might we see it in younger people now when we did not, apparently, a generation or more earlier?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know. There's a lot of speculation. One theory is that, you know, we have an increased obesity and less exercise, all of that. But in fact, most of the patients that we have that are young are not those people. They are what I call marathon running, cardboard eating people. They never really did anything wrong in their lives. And so an alternative theory is that in fact we've somehow altered what we call our microbiome. Now, our listeners know, I think, what that means. It's the bacteria that's on us and in us.
Yeah.
And each one of us has this beautiful coral reef of bacteria in our colons.
Yeah.
And we're to maintain that. And we really haven't been studying what we've been doing to our coral reef, if you will, with changes in antibiotic usage, washing our hands so much, not going out and playing with other kids. And so in some way, we may have sterilized or altered our microbiome such that we've shifted it towards a more carcinogenic bacteria in our colon. So we're now looking at this to try and figure it out, and we're hoping that, in fact, the science that we'll discover, the answers that we will discover, will teach us more and more about who should be screened, who shouldn't be screened, not only for the young folks, but for everybody.
Boy, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. You don't want to get the flu, so you wash your hands, then you're too clean, and you end up susceptible here. If that were the case, is there a rise among older Americans as well? Or
actually, the counter is true. So we are seeing in the over 50 age set and a decline, an improvement in outcomes, so less colon cancer and lower mortality. And we're, of course, patting ourselves on the back a bit because we may be seeing an improvement there because of screening, the actual colonoscopy and testing.
Yep.
We have an increased compliance with that in the United States, and so we are seeing a fall there. So that's our only explanation for the improvement on that end, but we're trading it for this really disturbing trend of very young people in the prime of their lives getting a diagnosis that no one was expecting.
Americans 50 plus are told to go in for a colonoscopy for that screening, but younger Americans are not, so how would a younger person even have any idea if they were at risk or had actually developed colorectal cancer?
And we have to remember this. I mean, it's a really good question, but we have to remember that screening every healthy person for cancer, ideally, this is a test that is non-invasive, inexpensive, easy to give. Well, colonoscopies are really none of those things. They're very good tests, but they're not cheap. They are, of course, invasive.
Yeah.
We do have stool testing, which meets this criteria, but we need to understand better who should be tested before we start saying every 20-year-old or 30-year-old needs to have some screening for colon cancer. So I'm hopeful that we will learn quickly enough so that we can identify those at risk and intervene.
But right now, you don't have an easy way of doing that. So when this shows up, you know, people are listening right now, perhaps in their 20s and 30s, and want some kind of guidance on how to be alert, aware, attuned.
Absolutely. So the number one sort of presenting symptom is sort of altered bowel habits or some bleeding. And of course, if you're in your 20s or 30s, even if you go to see your primary care doc or an emergency room, for example, that's colon cancer is low on the list of problems that this might be.
They won't think that's your profile.
Right. So we are really sending this message out to those frontline healthcare providers to make sure they're aware of this trend so that when someone comes in with one of these symptoms that the appropriate testing is done, because what we are seeing is that when it's not recognized, that cancers are, of course, more advanced by the time they are picked up. So we want a good sensitivity trigger here, not just on the consumer side, the patient side, but also on the healthcare delivery side. The other barrier, of course, is our payers. Our insurance companies don't always cover this kind of procedure without some sort of sparking symptoms. So a 30-year-old just can't walk in saying, I'm nervous that I might have colon cancer and have their colonoscopy. They have to have some symptoms before a payer, an insurance company, would provide that support.
From your research, how common is colorectal cancer now among the young compared to 50, 60 plus?
Well, still, it's one of the most common cancers overall. About 150,000 patients will be diagnosed this year in the United States. So as an individual, your risk is not that great, but it's certainly a common cancer. And while it was extremely rare in the young patient population previously, over the last couple of decades, we're seeing a doubling and tripling of that incidence. That doesn't mean there are lots of patients or lots of people in that age group who will get colon cancer, but it does mean that, for example, in my clinic here at Georgetown University, a high proportion of my patients are now under the age of 50.
Dr. Marshall, for your own family, let's say, your own kids, if you were thinking about their microbiome and wanting to keep it strong and healthy, what would you recommend in terms of lifestyle?
Half as a joke is I would take them to the mall and have them lick the door.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm an old guy now, I was told to go out and play in the backyard and make a mud pie and actually then eat it. Roll in the dirt a little bit. And so I do think we have maybe swung too far. Now, I'm not encouraging that licking the door at the mall. I'm just teasing on that one. But I do think as we learn the impact of altering our flora, our bacteria, on not only cancer, we think this may have a role in allergy and other medical issues.
Live a little. Get out there.
Responses, maturity, all of these things factor into this. So it's science that we hope will move quickly so that we can give you a really good answer to the question.
Let's hope so. Dr. John Marshall at Georgetown University, thank you so much for being with us.